I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Acts, the 20th chapter. And we'll begin reading in just a moment in Acts chapter 20 with verse 25. We're dealing in these meetings with our adversaries, many adversaries. I trust we know that we have an adversary, singular, the devil, our adversary, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And the Apostle Paul wrote from Ephesus to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, declaring in verse 9 that a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries, many adversaries, many. So we return to the scene here in Acts chapter 20, where Paul is stopping at Miletus and greeting the Ephesian elders, the leaders from the church in Ephesus. And he leaves with these people his testimony concerning the work God gave him to do there, and how the Lord enabled him to be a faithful minister. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 25, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." There's a very tender scene in this 20th chapter of the book of Acts as the man of God bids farewell to these Ephesian elders. When we reach the end of the chapter, we see these elders, grown men, seasoned men, weeping, showing great emotion. The apostle has boarded the boat. No doubt they stand there until the ship has crossed the horizon. And if you came up to them and asked, "Why so much emotion? Why such a to-do?" they would declare to us, "There goes the man that God used to change our lives. The man who not only told us of the Lord Jesus Christ and his power to save, but the man who endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And I believe one of them perhaps would add this footnote: "He fought off the wolves for us. And now he's charged us to do the same for others." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark these two words in verse 29. As we think of our adversaries, the Apostle Paul speaks of adversaries here as grievous wolves. Grievous meaning hurtful, harmful, causing grief and sorrow. Grievous wolves. He says they shall enter in among you. What a warning. What a warning. I want to get right to the point with you, and I want you to write some things down, because we need to understand that we're living in perilous times. And the Bible tells us in perilous times, that the corrupt will become commonplace. And it appears to me, at least after more than 40 years in the ministry, most of which has been given to the pastorate, that we're being overrun with grievous wolves. Wolves are creeping in unawares. And I want to warn you of them. I want us to recognize that these are not playthings we're dealing with. Many people get the idea that the wolf is something that is not so harmful. Perhaps even an animal to be entreated. But I tell you, no. No, 1,000 times no. Great grief, great sorrow, great hurt and harm is being done by these grievous wolves. It's sadly interesting to me that people take exotic pets and try to take them into their person, into their homes. I brought along a few stories about people who have done such horrific things. Here's one about a man who liked lizards for pets and was killed and eaten by his own lizards. Another about a woman who enjoyed having poisonous snakes for pets and was bitten and killed by her own poisonous snakes. Or the 14-year-old boy who came home to discover that his mother had been killed and partially eaten by her pet tiger. Think of that. Or about Julie Burris, who had her pet panther bite a portion of her head off. In reality, he scalped her and left her nearly dead. Or about Jean Ann Rossetto, who loved chimpanzees, and despite that her animals were being warned against, one nearly blinded her, nearly killed her, and left her dead, nearly dead. And then another who had a cat, one of these exotic cats, who lunged without warning and bit her in the neck and nearly brought about her death. And there are people who think that these wolves, these grievous wolves, are something to be played with. Christians today are so full of frivolity, they lack seriousness. They've reduced the church services in most places to a fun and exciting event. That they've lost all seriousness about the work of God. And worse, all reverence toward God and His Word. The apostle here stops deliberately. He meets with the leaders to do certain things for them and to give them this warning. I'd like you to write these things down, would you please? First, we find the appeal to shepherds. The appeal to shepherds. He says to them, this shepherd that you've had for more than 3 years, this shepherd who was used of God to establish the church here, he's leaving now and you will see his face no more. Of course, they're going to weep because of his saying they will see his face no more. But what will be left when the shepherd is gone? What strength will be left in this church? What men and women will take up the armor when the shepherd is no longer here? He says, and now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Now I want to have a long ministry, much longer than the one I have enjoyed up to this point. But only God knows. Our days are numbered, of course. And death will always come suddenly. And while I am here, I want to do everything I can to be a faithful shepherd. He goes on to say, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. I hope someday I could say that. I do not feel I have the liberty to say that at this moment. because there seems to be so much more to be done, so many more to be warned, so many more doors to knock on, so many more people who need to hear the gospel, so much work yet to be done, so much territory yet to be taken. But this faithful man of God said, I want you to know that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I want that to be true of our ministry here. It's easy for a preacher to tiptoe around and to be characterized by the things he will not say. The man who knows there are people with itching ears who only want to hear certain things, and so he avoids part of the counsel of God. But may God help you to have a shepherd who doesn't care to tread on the touchy places and plow deep and declare the whole counsel of God. And then as he appeals to these shepherds, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. If we're not careful, we spend so much time trying to take care of the flock, we neglect ourselves. This not only happens in the pulpit ministry and in the pastoral ministry of a church and the life of that person, being myself in this case, but it happens in a home with a father or with a mother who guides, who leads, who works with their children. We are not only to take care of those under our care, but we are to take heed to ourselves to make sure that we keep ourselves right with God. And he continues by saying, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. I want you to hold your place here, this 20th chapter, and turn with me back to the Proverbs just for a moment, if you would, please. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 23, the Bible says something to all shepherds. And if God has given you a shepherding ministry, take heed to this. This is God's appeal to the shepherds. Be thou diligent, Proverbs 27 verse 23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well to thy herds. It is the shepherd's responsibility to give himself to taking care, diligently taking care of the flock. Not just knowing whether they're present or absent, but to knowing as much as possible about the condition of those in that flock. Again, the verse says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. God makes this warning to the shepherds in the book of Ezekiel, if you'll turn there, please. In the 34th chapter, the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 34, beginning with verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Now, can you imagine? God is saying to his prophet Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy against the shepherds. Verse 2, Ezekiel 34. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flocks. Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. They became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. This is God's word against the shepherds. And God declares in His holy word here to the shepherds, my flock, my sheep are being devoured by the wolves. Grievous wolves have made the sheep their meat, because the sheep have no shepherd. Even our lovely Lord Jesus was moved with compassion because He saw the people as sheep scattered without a shepherd. Often we don't get that. We have the idea that they're just aimlessly wandering and drifting, trying to find a little food, a little water here and there. That's not the point. The Lord said He was moved with compassion because the sheep were scattered with no shepherd. And when they left with no shepherd, there's no one to defend them against the grievous wolves. No one to warn them. No one to take the shepherd's rod and drive the wolves away. No one. And I would to God that we would get under this burden. Burden meaning the desire, the strong desire, the passionate desire to see a local assembly of believers in every community with a faithful shepherd guiding that flock and telling others how they can know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. We find, as we consider the grievous wolves, God begins by the appeal to the shepherds. If you look again in Acts chapter 20, you find the second thing, please. I'd like you to make note of it, and that is the appearance of the wolves. Here they come. And they're coming. They are coming. Mom and Daddy, they're coming after your children. Husband, they're coming after your wife. Wife, they're coming after your husband. When your husband leaves home each day, the wolves are tracking him. And the wolves are tracking your wife. The wolves are tracking your husband. The wolves are tracking your children. The wolves are tracking your friends and neighbors. Extended family members. We must ask God for the discernment to be able to recognize them. Oh, may God help us. The appearing of the wolves. As we consider the appearance of the wolves, look at verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. The shepherd's gone. And now the wolves come. They could not wait. They're anxiously looking, lurching, searching, longing for the shepherd to be gone so they can enter into the flock. All across this country and around the world, I hear about local assemblies of baptized believers where there's something has happened to the shepherd and the shepherd's gone and the wolves have come in on the flock. The appearance of the wolves. And so often where there is something other than a shepherd, a true shepherd trying to care for the flock, the wolves are having a heyday, a free day, running wild. Paul says, when I'm gone, they're coming. Grievous wolves shall enter in among you. not sparing the flock. He warns also of your own selves, shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. This sounds exactly what our Lord said, if you'll turn with me to the gospel records. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, if you'll have your Bible open there, in Matthew chapter 7. And of course, the metaphoric teachings of Jesus are so helpful to us as he compares people to sheep and people to wolves. And he tells us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. Inwardly they are ravaging wolves. Now they look like sheep. They have every appearance of sheep. But inwardly, they're not just wolves. They've come to ravage. They've come to destroy, to cause harm. Ravening wolves, they are inwardly. He warned again in Matthew chapter 10, if you'll turn there please. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, our Lord says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. He says, you're going to be working in the midst of wolves. You're going out and you're going to be surrounded by wolves. The wolves are going to appear. These grievous wolves, these wolves who want to ravage and destroy. Again, he tells us in Luke chapter 10, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And then in verse 3 of Luke chapter 10, he says, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. The appearance of wolves. Paul wasn't talking about animals with sharp teeth and coats of fur. He was talking about people. Jesus wasn't talking about animals with tails and ears and furry coats and teeth. He was talking about people. Lambs, sheep, especially wayward sheep, straying sheep who need a shepherd and don't have one. Sheep who wander and will not be led, who will not follow and cannot lead. They become the prey of wolves. We are surrounded by wolves. Wolves are everywhere waiting to devour the sheep. We don't have to live in fear because we have a shepherd, a heavenly shepherd who's greater than any wolf. Amen. But when we do not attend to the things we ought to attend to as Christians, then we have to be devoured by the wolves. Grievous wolves. One of the most difficult things to deal with in all of the Christian life is revealed to us in this first passage I gave you in the Gospel according to Matthew in the 7th chapter. He says, these are false prophets. Jude warns that they creep in unawares. You don't know they're there. Here, back in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, he says, it just appears there's another sheep among you. You pay very little attention. Just have another sheep among you. But this particular sheep is not a sheep at all. This sheep is a wolf. Who are the wolves? Whoever they are, they come to destroy and to hurt and to do harm. One of the key things God says about them in the book of Acts chapter 20 is, listen please, concerning them, these grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Beloved, we need discernment to recognize the appearance of the wolves. It seems that we have everything today but discernment. But one of the things we witness with discernment is that these wolves are not like sheep in their behavior. These wolves want people to follow them, not Jesus, not the Lord's work. They're interested in what is best for them. They're interested in people listening to them. They want their way. They have no regard for God's way. And after a while, though they wear the clothing of a sheep, they begin to act like wolves. And may God help us to recognize their appearance. Many times the person nearest you, a person works to get near you, in your home, with your children, with your family and friends, is a trustworthy person. Most of the time, I hope it's exactly that way. But the wolf's intent is to look like a sheep and to work his way in as wildly as possible, as near as possible, as close as possible, to do as much damage as is possible. That's the way of the wolf. And Paul said, we're here in Ephesus, as he wrote to the church in Corinth, and a great door and effectual is opened to us. And there are many adversaries. And when he goes back as an older man, bidding farewell to these Ephesian elders, he reminds them, when I'm gone, the wolves are going to try to overrun the place. And I want you to know, they don't wait until the shepherd's gone. They're there. And may God help us to recognize their appearance and to be on guard. May the Lord give us the discernment to know the difference between a sheep and a wolf. The third thing here we find in the book of Acts is the ability to stand against the wolves. God tells us in this same passage how we can handle this. Let me read it again from verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He's appealed to the shepherds. We see the appearance of the wolves. He goes on to say, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. If we're going to be able to have the ability to stand against the wolves, we must heed the warnings. This is a war we're in. It's a war. It's a real warfare. And we're battling an enemy who has no kindness, no care, no concern for God or God's people. This enemy has no compassion, nothing humane, as we may say, about this enemy. He seeks only to destroy. And God's word says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God, our trust must be in the Lord, and to the word of his grace, here it is, which is able to build you up. If you want to have the ability to stand and to stay in the fight against the wolves, it can't be done without the word of God. It is the word of God which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them, all them which are sanctified. The word of God is able to build you up. You see, we get the idea that there's just one side to this, and that one side to it is that we fight off the devil by quoting Scripture. We fight off the wolves by quoting Scripture. The Scripture must have more to do in our lives than just to be quoted. It must be applied and lived out on a daily basis. We must apply the Word of God to our lives. You see, Satan works in a wily way to get us distracted. That's all he wants, is a distraction. I could tell you, and I won't take the time, and I wouldn't become that personal with it, but I could tell you about families who have been in this particular ministry that I consider to be a Bible preaching, Bible teaching ministry, and have been here for years and years, maybe 20 years or more. And they hardly ever miss a meeting. But they're far off course from where God wants them to be. They heard the sermons. They sat in the Sunday school classes. They may have even completed the Bible readings. But the Word of God, by the work of the Spirit of God, must be applied to our lives and lived out on a daily basis. And the course some people set themselves on, it's not a course of close communion and fellowship and walking with the Lord. It's a course of being self-willed and self-guided. And the strange thing about it, people think they've done themselves some good. They think, well, look, here I am. I haven't been one of those followers. I've chosen my own way, my own course. I do my own thing. I don't get in lockstep with all this other crowd. You know what you are? You're very foolish. We're not trying to make robots of anyone. As a matter of fact, I'm so totally opposed to that. I believe so strongly in the priesthood of every believer and individual soul liberty, I could never be dictatorial. Never. But I want you to know this, if in your own self-willed way, you've neglected to follow God's way and to stay close to God and to God's people, you're like one of those straying sheep who is a target for a grievous wolf. He's waiting for the opportune time to ravage you, your life, your home, your family, your testimony, your future. All because you thought you're free to follow your self-will. You made your own guided tour of the Christian life. You're not like everybody else. Well, I want you to know you've been sold a bad bill of goods. And you're going to be hung out there alone to suffer the sorrowing, grievous consequences of a wolf that wants to devour you. We are not that strong, beloved. We are not that great. No matter how long we've hung around God's people, we are not that able, and we never shall be. As long as we live on this earth, we're going to be absolutely dependent upon the Lord and His strength to deal with these grievous wolves. And may God in heaven help us. The longer I'm in the ministry, the more I realize the simplicity which is in Christ and the simplicity which is in God's work. This sounds so foolish to the intellectual. But I would have said as a young preacher, 18 years old, going into a meeting, knowing all I knew to say, well, people, we ought to read the Bible and study it and apply it. And we must pray. We must attend church faithfully and stay close to God and His people. We must separate ourselves to the Lord and from the world. We must attempt to be a faithful witness telling others about Jesus. And someone who'd been walking with the Lord a long time may have said, well, that was good, but we'd like to hear something much deeper. Well, I want you to know, God has privileged me to preach for more than 40 years on every continent around the world across America. And to spend those 40 years trying my best to get into His Word and get His Word into my heart from cover to cover. And the greatest thing I could say to you is we need to read the Bible, people. Amen. To study it and to memorize it and apply it to our lives. We need to pray and stay close to God and attend church faithfully and stay close to God and His people. We need to live clean lives separated to Jesus Christ and separated from the world. And we need to do everything we can to tell other people about the Lord Jesus. And you say, is that just for our benefit? I'll tell you what happens. It helps keep the wolves away. And by God's grace, I want to keep the wolves away. They're out there and they're waiting to leap upon us. And may we be built up in Jesus so we can deal with these grievous wolves. Would you bow with me in prayer?